afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Really glad you're here today because it's one of your favorites. I already know this. Every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. So get your questions ready. The phone lines are open. I'd love to hear from you. You can even call anonymously, or if you're too shy to get on the air, just tell Matt your question. He'll type it in the board for us and we'll tackle it as we can. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. First, actually just one announcement. We are hard at work behind the scenes on our second annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. Talking about it now because we've got a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and that's really where the opportunities happen. You go and you attend and you hear from experts. You hear from our keynote, Sheila Walsh and Liz Curtis Higgs, and you take these different workshops and you kind of get your tools for getting published. But really the absolute, what's the word that I want to say? I don't want to say magic, but you know what I mean. The supernatural connections happen in those one-on-one appointments, but they fill up quick. We've got a capacity for 1,000 attendees, but less than half number for appointments. So this is what you got to do. Hop on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Spend some time on the website. Kind of peruse through the faculty and get a sense of who you're supposed to meet with and sign up for that appointment. As I said, they're filling up, and we'd love to get you there, and I hope you don't miss it. It's going to be epic. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. And I know we've got listeners from all over the world, but we get this question so often. Just want you to know his clinic is located in Eagan, Minnesota. It's again called Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues, which he totally does, and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company's located, oh, here it is in his bio. I could have just waited till I got to it. Eagan, Minnesota. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always good to have you. He looks smiley because he's been on vacation, so I have a little bit of vacation envy, but I'm super proud of you.
I'm so rested.
And that's so good.
Yes.
Good for you. So you know this. We love to start by talking scripture. What do you have for us today?
What I have today is Proverbs 4:23, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Mm. Really today I want to talk a little bit about our mind and all the things that impact it, but in our environment, the people around us, but specifically also what we put in our mouth, in our mind, and there's a second part to it, a second verse, and I just want to talk about that a little bit too. All food is more than a source of energy. Basically, it's a blessing from the Lord. And so whenever we have a blessing from the Lord, we need to have gratitude for that. I have gratitude for that. And my patients and my family, my friends, I want us to have gratitude for that because it truly is a blessing. But every time we have a blessing like that, there's another side to that conversation. And so this is 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Hmm. And so I want to talk about the things that take us away from Christ. And a lot of times we don't realize it can come from what's around us all the time, what's in our food or the types of food, or how when we change food, it starts to change and alter our mindset. And There are a lot of factors that go into one's mindset, and our world really, we have evil in this world, and we have also good intentions that cause bad things. And so I really want to focus on some of the things we can control, be conscious, very, very conscious as Christians about how we turn back to the Lord and have discernment of what types of things slowly turn us away from the Lord when we don't even know it.
Mm. And so that's going to be our open dialogue conversation even before we start taking calls, is just toxins and how environmental toxins, food toxins, social toxins, I would say entertainment toxins,
yes,
because they all affect our brain. They have an impact on our emotions and relationships. But even, you know, looking at this tragedy in Florida, it is unbelievable. I think I read that since Sandy Hook, there have been 200 school shootings and more than 400 people killed. I mean, when Columbine happened, I mean, it was on the news for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I mean, it's, you can't even fathom it. But these 17 people killed, more critically injured. But that someone doesn't just snap overnight. There's an accumulative effect of intake, of input, of mindset, isn't there?
Absolutely. And there's many, many things that go into that conversation. It's a very large conversation when you're talking about what's happened in Florida. And there's a lot of things that go into that. A lot of what we're going to be talking about here today are some of the subtle things that we may not even be aware of that are starting to influence a mindset. But when they just start adding on top of each other, they do become cumulative. And our life is so busy nowadays that we have it just start a process and we just drift. We let life dictate what happens to us.
And let the important things go, don't we?
We do. Mm-hmm. And the important conversations and the framework and the guidance as parents and as a community and as mentors, as leaders. And so it's very important, I think, especially as Christians, to start to look at how can we define and set our lives up differently so that we can start to minimize these types of events as much as possible.
Wow. You think of that community that's reeling and then the world that's watching that's reeling. How do we process that even? I mean, it's so traumatic, I mean, to our emotions, to our physiology, and it's a reality in our world. So you don't want to live in fear. You want to live in faith.
Absolutely.
But how do you process that in a healthy way?
Well, first of all, it has to be processed.
Yes, good
and
point.
So if we don't process it, And we just tuck it away, or we ignore it as, or even worse, we just get used to the fact that it's now commonplace and it's a normal thing. It is not abnormal. And I want everyone to hear this. It is absolutely okay to feel rage in the moment because of the evil that has been done and performed. It's okay. It's okay for us to be angry. We don't want to live in that anger, but that is a human emotion that we've been given. And when something like that, which flies in the face of God and what he has for us and the potential that all those kids had as just human beings and children of God, it's okay to be angry about that. It's definitely not okay to start blaming and to start finger pointing and things like that. At times like this, whenever we get stuck, it's important to go to God and see what he has to say about this type of scenario. And we're meant to love everyone down there, including the perpetrators of this. And what does that look like for each and every one of you? It might be a little bit different because of your personal relationship with God. He might have you do something completely different than the person next to you, and that's 100% okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a check-in time for sure for everyone to really just check in on with God to see how they are meant to walk this walk and walk through it.
Yeah. And the point is, and we talk often about this, is we all have to steward our perspective. We get too busy, as you say, you relegate it as something that's normal in our culture, you know, or you fixate on the fear around the evil. Neither of those are good. But somehow to look it square in the face and say, what is this bringing up in me? And to tend to the issues of our soul. And I had a gentleman on recently whose son was introduced to opioids at school. And he said he was not a depressed kid. He was a delightful kid. He wasn't somebody looking for an escape, just trying to be cool. But opioids, he says, are addictive within a few days. And because, you know, once they got harder to get, you can still, they're very accessible. They go right to heroin and to other things, and it affects your brain chemistry. And I thought it was interesting because you talked about this before, but he said even cell phone use creates dopamine in the brain, so to speak. And we are also addicted to checking our phones. And I don't mean this to be a stretch, but I think it goes to the conversation that we really should mind the checks in our own lives. So I want you just to talk, if you wouldn't mind, about our tendency to check our phone, and what that's doing in our brain, and what would be a better way to do this.
Yeah, when I was just on vacation, we had not all the kids, but six of them with us, and we had no cell phone policy.
Awesome.
So we were in
Fantastic.
A nice sunny warm location, and so we wanted to appreciate what was around us. It didn't mean that there wasn't times they could go check certain things, but it was literally 5 minutes and then done. And some of them, they're young enough, they don't need that at all. So we had a no screen time policy, and we enjoyed the world around us.
Man.
And it was very relaxing for everyone. It was actually a little nerve-wracking the thought of it for my 15-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little nerve-wracking, but she did fine. She survived.
She survived.
I'm here to tell you, Susie, she survived.
She made it through.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was one of those scenarios where it's so telling. I mean, as a child, I never had to deal with that. Our kids nowadays have so much more to deal with so much earlier in life, and it's an addiction that didn't even exist 20-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. So the reality is we can get addicted to almost anything, and when that addiction occurs, it's that, like we said, it's that little drop of dopamine which makes us feel good. We get instant pleasure. And the problem is the more and more you're doing that to get the instant pleasure, when you go without it, you feel different. You feel less than you did
lacking.
When you're getting that, lacking.
Wow.
So everything's relative in nature. So if you're getting that instant access, instant pleasure, then when you go without it just for a short time period, you can induce a depression in a matter of 24 to 48 hours if you've been constantly getting that elsewhere, and they do. And so I'm actively talking with my kids right now, and I don't want everyone to hear this like we've got it down, because we absolutely do not. This is a new thing for me as a parent.
Well, he has 10 kids, I'm just saying. That's a lot.
Well, a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So we have a saying in our family, it's okay to make a mistake as long as we learn from it. And that was just to allow my kids to give me grace as a parent, because there's too many.
Yeah. Well, let's pause here. But when we come back, we're going to dig in a little bit deeper, unless your calls come in here, about food toxins, environmental toxins. How do these things affect our brain, our emotions, and even our relationships? We could probably talk the whole hour about that. So if you just want to listen today and don't feel like calling, that's good. But the phone lines are open. In case you've got a question for Dr. Troy, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
I was calling out to you when you said
thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio with us. We get him in here once a month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Love to take your health questions, 877-933-2484. One of the things I love about the doc is he's not only so knowledgeable about the human condition, but he's got a shepherd's pastor's heart, and I just appreciate that so much. And as we're processing different calls, let's continue our conversation about toxins and environmental toxins and food toxins and how they affect our brain, our emotions, and relationships. So start with food and cover those three things, if you would: brain, emotions, and relationships.
So food is meant to nourish us, but we also, like I said, it's a blessing. And the first thing I want to say, we actually had this conversation this morning in Roundtable. We all get together before we start seeing patients, and Chad, our therapist in the group, started talking about mindful eating and just the research that's out there, that when we're actually focused on and we're very much aware of the food we're eating, and we slow down and we actually try and taste each bite, and we actually are thankful and we show gratitude while we're eating it. If you just enter into the meal thanking God for just providing for this for you, there's a change in your chemistry in the body that allows you to digest the food better, to break it down, to actually receive the nutrients better. When we're full of gratitude, our cells literally open up, and so we can absorb the nutrients. If you're just multitasking and fast eating, fast forwarding, fast fooding all over the place, we're not actually getting the nutrients as much. So mindful eating is very, very important. And there were some other things that came up in that conversation, like just some research that shows if we use smaller bowls and plates, we actually don't gain as much weight. For those that are struggling with overeating, a lot of times just being mindful and chewing and showing appreciation and using smaller bowls or smaller portions can help a lot of people with some of the food choices and food cravings. Having said that, there are certain foods that people are sensitive to. We rarely find someone who's not sensitive to at least one food. And sometimes that comes from a genetic scenario. For example, Northern Europeans are more reactive to gluten and dairy than other cultures. And sometimes they've actually changed or altered our food, so it's no longer the way God made it. Dairy's been changed and altered. Gluten and wheat, especially in the United States, has been altered. And so we can start to have immune reactions because our immune system will attack anything it doesn't recognize. That's what it's supposed to do, like a bacteria, a virus, or a parasite. So if we change the food and our immune system doesn't quite really see or acknowledge it as being something we should be having, it will attack it. And so we start to see inflammatory reactions.
Wow, I've never heard it explained that way. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So we have inflammation. Mm-hmm. There's been many books written now, like Grain Brain by Dr. Perlmutter is a great book talking about how our brain can become inflamed from the food we're eating.
Wow.
So just
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt.
Yeah.
So when a brain is inflamed, what would be some of the symptoms? Would it be brain fog or other things?
Brain fog is one thing. It can be anywhere on the spectrum from brain fog all the way up to, in children, on the autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, my goodness.
So inflammation depends on how much damage it causes to the brain. But if it breaks down the blood-brain barrier, then we're susceptible to more chemicals. So people can actually get migraines or headaches from smelling perfume. They can start to have memory issues. And the people who are the most susceptible are the people at the beginning of their life and the people at the end of their life. So in the beginning, the kids, their systems are just developing. So they're not quite fully developed. And as we've lived a full life, our nerves start to wear down. Our immune system becomes overburdened and can't protect us as well. So we run into the same variables. So those are the two populations, if you will, that are the most susceptible to challenges with food. And we have to remember, as we age, our nerves aren't as firing as much. And so our digestive system, which is really a muscle, starts to become weaker. So just like when you're maybe in your 20s, you can lift a 40-pound dumbbell. When you're in your 80s, you can maybe lift a 5-pound weight the same way. Well, our stomach muscle does the same thing. It can contract really well when we're in our 20s, and we start to lose that ability as we age, so it doesn't digest things properly or as well. And so food becomes a really important component. And if the inflammation in the brain, it can affect anywhere in the brain. So it can affect us all so differently. And that's why it can be challenging to really get a hold of inflammation in the brain, or gluten sensitivity acts like this. Because for one person, it can cause memory loss. For another one, it can actually cause visual blurring or disturbances with your hearing, or it can cause seizure disorders. We see all kinds of different scenarios where that starts to happen.
Wow. 877-933-2484. We've got Sue checking in from Alexandria with a question. Hey, Sue, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. 30-some years ago, I was exposed to hazardous chemicals in it.
Hey, Sue, can you turn down your radio real quick? Sue, I want you to turn down your radio because we're getting a major echo, and then that will be good.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you, I'm not even by the radio, so I guess it's pretty sensitive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is this better?
Yes. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, a couple years ago, we discovered I had below average cognitive processing. Excuse me, because of this. Do you have any suggestions on how I can maybe help my brain and my recall challenges now?
Okay. Yeah, that's actually exactly what we're talking about right now. So timely phone call. When it comes to cognitive processing, that's a perfect example of bringing together the nervous system working properly. And so there's different levels to this. The first thing, first and foremost, is we have to make sure your blood sugar is balanced and stable. So if the blood sugar is good, then it's all about oxygen. Your brain needs oxygen. Now, I will say it depends on what chemicals were released. So, for example, if you were exposed 32 years ago to a lot of different chemicals, if there was any type of lead in there, lead gets stored in our bones. And as women go through a process of pregnancy, they release a little bit, they have a little bit of bone loss, and lead gets released and is passed down to our babies, unfortunately. And so now they say that it takes about 4 generations to get lead out of your body. So you have to be consciously pulling the lead out of the body so that as there's bone loss with pregnancy, the babies aren't impacted or affected. Now, that also happens at different points in our life when we have high stress, digestive scenarios, or going through menopause with women. So many times 32 years or many years can go by, and then you actually see a release of these chemicals again that are stored in our bone tissue because of bone loss. So the reality is you want to get checked to make sure there's no excessive amounts of heavy metals still in your system. So you can do a urine heavy metal test with a functional medicine practitioner. Generally speaking, the traditional medical community will look for heavy metals in your blood because they're very toxic in your blood. If it's in your blood, lead will pull heme out of your system. So what that means is heme is the main ingredient with hemoglobin, which delivers oxygen to our brain. If we don't have oxygen to the brain, we get cognitive challenges right away. And so lead is the first one that pops to mind. We have to make sure that your lead levels are okay in the blood and in your tissues. So getting a provocative heavy metal test is very important. Proper blood sugar balance is very important. And then there's two other scenarios where we want to you want to clean up your digestive system, meaning you have to make sure you are going to the bathroom daily, having bowel movements, not just one, but multiple. As we age, we lose the ability to go to the bathroom as effectively. We need more fiber. And there's a challenge there because when you are not going to the bathroom effectively, you start recycling the toxins, specifically the estrogens and the chemicals that mimic estrogen. And that can cause further bone loss and other problems, which then alleviate the other chemicals that are internal. So it's really important to identify what foods work for you and what foods don't. Avoid inflammatory foods like sugar, unfortunately, is the most inflammatory ones. And then really checking to see what other foods you don't do well with. Dairy and gluten are the most common. Soy and corn are right behind it. And so cleaning up the diet. And I will say this. You want to make sure your fish oils are good, your omega-3 oils, because they help protect for inflammation and the brain. Your vitamin D has to be nice and high for the immune system. And as long – and blood sugar is the most important thing. Once you have the blood sugar and the oxygen taken care of, it's all about stimulating your brain. You want to stay active. And the example I always use is my astronaut example. When astronauts go into space, they're very healthy, but they can only stay in space for 2 years before they start to get cognitive delays. And that's because there's no gravity in space, so they can't use their muscles. So physical activity, when all the other things are working better, stimulate our brain and keep it active. So we have to keep moving, using our muscles. And as long as oxygen and blood sugar are good, clear out the heavy metals and lots of antioxidants from fruits and vegetables.
Perfect. Thank you, Sue. Anonymous, Sarah, Amanda, we see you. We're going to take your calls. Keep them coming. 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really great day. We're having a great conversation today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And to tell you the truth, we can never get to all the questions that come in, which just shows it's meeting a need. We're so honored to have you listening and calling because we both feel just so passionate about your health, about you operating in wholeness. And as someone who's dealt with chronic health issues my whole life, it's like it's hard to hear things. It's hard to do things. It's hard to show up in life when you don't feel well. And what I have learned from Dr. Troy over the last 2 years is the smallest tweaks can make the biggest difference. And so many of us have small tweaks to make. There's things you just need to change in what you tell yourself, what you feed yourself, what you say to yourself before you go to bed. And let's make those changes so we can show up and be fully alive. Hey, that's the title of my next book. Funny how that happened. All right. 877-933-2484. Anonymous checking in from Fargo. Hey there, you're on the air.
Hi. Hey. Here.
What's your question for the doc today?
Okay, Ed, had a quick question. I'm 29-year-old male, and over the past months and recent years, I've just become a lot more tired than I ever remember being. It's kind of, I don't really have an answer for it. I know that I've had mono 2 times, and I've had a couple bouts of pericarditis. And around the middle of last year, I had a whole bunch of blood tests done, and nothing came back positive. So I just wanted to see if you had any kind of advice as to why my energy levels might be so low.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Without more information, it's harder to give you exact details, but I want to give you a little bit of encouragement here in certain areas to look for. So feeling more tired, basically, it's a definitive symptom that something's not balanced, something's out of balance, and our energy comes from, again, using sugar and oxygen. So if your blood sugar, if they tested your blood sugar, which is a common test, they probably checked you for diabetes and blood sugar regulation issues. And if that's checking out okay, then some other scenarios are things like latent mono. So there is such a thing as latent mono where you had mono and there's still problems. It's still, the virus is still causing some issues. I'll say it like this. There are so many places you can start, because when you have a negative reaction, let's just take food because that's the conversation right now that we're in. If you have a food allergy or food sensitivity, if your immune system doesn't recognize it, then it can actually start to attack certain food. Now, mono, which is a virus, is enough to start to disrupt, to confuse your immune system, to start to all of a sudden trigger a reaction where you're now attacking in foods, where you develop food sensitivities. So you can do an elimination food diet. You might be surprised to find out that if you pull wheat or gluten out, that your energy goes up a little bit, or dairy. Start with food, pull it out. If there's no change with that, you will notice a change within 2 weeks. If you pull food out of your diet, you should notice a change within 2 weeks. Many, many times it's within the first 7 days. There are a couple other scenarios. Your thyroid can also be a problem. If you have pretty significant fatigue and you're gaining a little bit of weight, or you've got some coarse hair, or you're becoming a little constipated, a lot of times it can still be a thyroid problem. Mono and other viruses will trigger autoimmune thyroid, and a lot of times they don't check for thyroid antibodies in the standard blood screen. So just because there's a lot of blood tests, it doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't some other things going on. Also, with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, we see a sleep disorder that develops. So a lot of times we can find problems with the neck and the airway not stabilizing properly, and people are getting either sleep apnea or upper airway resistance syndrome, where you're not getting into full restful sleep. If you're not remembering your dreams at nighttime, then or first thing in the morning, then that's a potential sign that you're not getting into deep, restful, restorative sleep. If you are waking up in the morning and you don't feel rested, you're probably not getting into that deep sleep. So a couple scenarios here. The sleep is very important, and making sure that you actually don't have a sleep disorder. Checking the hormones to make sure the thyroid is okay. And there's the adrenal gland hormones that are also a big part of that. So there are specialty tests to check for adrenal dysfunction. And then really looking at what else could be contributing to your lymph system, because a food allergy or other co-infections can happen after mono. Yeast and candida are a big one, and one called SIBO. If you have those, they're not serious enough to cause fever or needing to go to the hospital, but they cause a low-grade flu-like symptom, which fatigue is one of the main signs. And so it's very important to get those areas checked out. So hidden low-grade infection. Heavy metals, like I said, lead, if there's any exposure there, can pull out heme, which lowers your oxygen. With more of a history, we can identify that, but there is always a reason why. Stress is another major player, because it can cause muscle tension in the neck, which then causes the sleep disorder. So there are a lot of variables. Also, for whatever reason, jaw dysfunction. If you have TMJ or other jaw issues, or if you grind your teeth at night, that's a sign that there's some dysfunction up there as well that can set up a sleep disorder, which causes fatigue. Fatigue in men is usually pretty easy to figure out, because it's not usually the hormones. That's usually women. It's usually digestive and a sleep disorder or the infection like we were talking about.
So there are labs, that broader lab panels that you could take that would reveal some of these things Dr. Troy's talking about. And if you could find a functional med doctor in your area, that would be a wise course of action.
Absolutely. And I want to hear this. The traditional labs are set up to detect disease.
Right.
Fatigue is not a disease. It's a symptom. So that falls in the functional realm, if you will. And so in functional medicine, they take a look at the same lab work, but they have different frames of what's normal and what's not normal. And anything that's in that gray zone just outside of the normal functional lab values is relevant to us, and that helps to figure things out. So if you take your current lab work to a functional practitioner, they may actually be able to identify which road you need to go down.
It's such a marvel. They did this with me, just as an example, anonymous friend, and you broaden this panel. That's probably not, that's just in my mind's eye. You see a broader view, and I was up and down on a number of little things, and so Dr. Troy's like, we're going to tweak this, we're going to fix this, and we're going to go after these one at a time, one by one by one, as we address these smaller issues. I started to get my energy back. I started to sleep again. And as you always say, for every question, there is an answer. So I don't want you to give up hope, friend. And maybe before you find your doctor, I just challenge you, give up sugar, give up gluten. I know it's radical. Do some deep breathing before you go to bed. But make your own personal tweaks there, right, Doc?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Bless you. There's an answer. You can get your energy back. I really believe that. All right. Sarah's checking in from Waterloo. She's been holding for quite a while, so she gets a badge for her patients. So, hey, Sarah. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I think I'm going to be like a broken record here, but I'm calling because I'm tired all of the time. I think it's a little bit different from our last caller. Within the last 3 months, done the Whole 30 challenge. I have a pretty clean diet. I exercise on a regular basis. Otherwise, very healthy. I take no medications. I'm just tired to the point where I'm falling to sleep at night before I can even talk to my husband. So,
so sorry.
Didn't know if there is anything based on those parameters that you might be able to help me out with. I'm 31 for reference.
I do have a quick question for you. Did you lose any weight on the Whole 30? And would you say you needed to lose any weight and didn't? Or you just didn't lose weight because there was no weight to lose? Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. I lost a couple of pounds, but I'm small anyway. I think I went from about 135 to 130. When we did our measurements after that, it was I did it through our gym. She did say don't lose any more because you're at a fat percentage that you don't want to be lower. I think I was at 11% or 12%. So.
Okay, so when it comes to fatigue, again, the main difference with women, we generally see women are more influenced by hormones. And so a lot of times fatigue, you want to look at anemia. So the different conversation here is a lot of things depend on your cycle as well. And so sometimes with a heavier cycle, there is a decrease or increased blood loss, if you will, and we actually become anemic, or not we, sorry. I always think, that's my empathy speaking. I've not ever had a cycle, just so we're clear, but the amount of hemoglobin drops. So it's important just make sure that your hemoglobin is normal, number one. Number two, again, hidden infection in the small intestine is one of the most common causes of this, called SIBO, and low stomach acid is also a part of it. And one of the maybe an aha is if you can't digest protein as well or meat as well, it sits heavy in your stomach. That is a potential sign of low stomach acid, which is a big part of what sets up SIBO in the first place. Again, needing to get the thyroid hormones checked. If you're not gaining weight, it's probably unlikely that there's a hypothyroid scenario there. But the hormones can definitely still play a role. Blood sugar regulation needs to be addressed with lab work. And then I will tell you right now, the most common thing I find that goes unaddressed is a sleep disorder. So again, if you talk in your sleep, grind your teeth at all it takes is a little bit of intestinal inflammation and a little bit of life stress. So if there's just a busyness in life and you don't feel rested in the morning, you're not remembering your dreams, most likely there is a sleep disorder there. And I will say that many of them can be corrected by improving diet. It sounds like you've done a good job there. And a lot of chiropractors do a good job of adjusting the head and neck to help improve and open up the airway, so you're getting more oxygen while sleeping at night. And sometimes you just have to elevate your pillow a little bit or your bed itself to open up the airways too. Upper airway resistance syndrome, which is a sleep disorder that is very, very common with fatigue, is basically called thin person sleep apnea. So it's when our muscles in our neck get really tight and the airway actually collapses during a deep sleep phase. And again, hidden infection is a big part of it. So checking for mono, latent mono, checking for low-grade bacterial infections. You'll see Marcon's is another one. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome.
And in the blood work, a lot of times you'll see, for example, the white blood cell count. They'll say that 3 to 9 is normal or 3 to 8 is normal. And with a chronic infection, anything below 5 is significant. So if it's actually 3 or 4, that is a potential sign of a hidden infection that's gone undiagnosed. And so every time you are exposed to a bacteria, virus, or a parasite is another one, it has the potential of robbing key nutrients, which then go into our energy. So I know fatigue and tired is a big part of it, but there's our mental stress is a huge component. Our hormone balance is another one. Food allergies, food sensitivities, and the sleep disorder and the ability to fight off infection are all a big part of it.
Thanks for that, Doc. So, Amanda, I know you've been holding forever, but we have to take a quick break. It's a minute and a half, but then you're on next. Amanda from Iowa. Rita from Iowa, you're up after that. 877-933-2484. Plus, I have a friend who's got Sjogren's, and we're going to try to get that question answered before this hour is over. Talking to Dr. Troy. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good, and I'm gonna believe it. He started something good, and he's gonna complete it. So I celebrate the truth, he's working me and through. I'm just a genius.
I was dancing, sorry about that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my good friend Dr. Troy Spurl in studio. He's founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. We get him on every month. Call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Taking your questions today. Amanda gets the award now for waiting the absolute longest. Amanda, thanks for your patience, and you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have rosacea, and I've had it for many years. But I know triggers are hot things, and I exercise, so I get sweaty. And I also drink hot tea, and I take hot baths and hot showers. Is there any way to treat this without giving up some of that stuff?
That's a great question. Whenever you see anything along those lines as far as hot triggering it. Now, the problem with rosacea is that it really has to do with the blood vessels in the face. So heat actually will dilate your blood vessels. So the answer is not really. However, there are some major influences as far as what set that off in the first place. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. First of all, there is an area of the brain that regulates our temperature, our internal thermostat. Every time we eat, our temperature goes up 1 to 2 degrees, or it's supposed to. For some people, it doesn't, and that's not right. And for other people, it actually goes up quite a bit higher than that. And so you can work on that particular area of the brain. Now, chemicals from our environment influence that, especially ones that mimic estrogen and extra estrogen. So anything with ashwagandha in it helps to stabilize that area of the brain as far as regulating our hormones and our body temperature. Stress also plays into it. So you want to decrease your stress. Check and see if there are hormone imbalances. Most likely there are some chemical mimickers out there in the environment that help set this all up in the first place. And then I'm going to say one other thing here. Methylators like B12, folic acid, niacin are B vitamins that you may be deficient in. So restoring those potential deficiencies can help your blood vessels become less reactive. Now, the funny thing is you want to work on that area of the brain. It's called the hypothalamus, and you want to balance out your hormones, and you want to restore your B vitamins, if you will, that help with the regulation of the arterioles, but you have to be working out. So we actually want you to continue to work out. You have to retrain your system. So you want to keep pushing it while you're doing these detoxes, and then you could potentially hit a point where it doesn't become as reactive because the blood vessels are becoming stronger. So that would be my guidance to you. I will tell you if it's going to change, which is a big if, it would take many, many months. So just be consistent with the healthy lifestyle, with the things I just talked about, and maybe 6 months to 9 months down the road, you'll start to notice that lessening.
Thank you for that. Rita has also been holding quite a while. Rita, thanks so much for your patience. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Sure. I have been having a battle with H. pylori for about 30 years, and they have put me on a regimen of several high-dose antibiotics this last time. And I was wondering, through battling with H. pylori, I lost a lot of my hair texture. My nails are brittle, and the skin is really dry. And I was wondering what I can do to build my body back up, like with probiotics or vitamins and so on.
Okay, great question. It's actually not probiotics that are going to help build it back up. H. pylori is a natural bacteria to our stomach system. When it actually starts to proliferate and becomes more dominant, it can cause ulcers and some other problems, but it's because the environment in the stomach is not right. The most common cause of that is low stomach acid, and a lot of times people will be put on antacids, and the reality is they don't have low stomach acid or high stomach acid at the time. They have low. They just have a timing mechanism problem. So the actual supplement you want to be on is going to have betaine hydrochloric acid in it. That's the stomach acid. Now, if you can't tolerate it, if you take one pill with food and it causes a burning sensation, then it means the lining of the digestive tract is too thin. If you've been on antacids or acid blockers for an extended period of time, then you have to work with your doctor to shift away from that, heal the lining of the digestive tract, the stomach, and then rebuild that acid. It can take a couple months to build your stomach acid back up and getting that to be able to tolerate. Now, stomach acid is a natural antiseptic. So as you start to build up the stomach acid, you'll start to absorb key nutrients. Now, people who have low stomach acid they stop absorbing some key minerals. Iron is one of them, and for our fatigue patients that we just talked to, that's one of them. Low stomach acid can start to decline your iron, your magnesium, your zinc, your calcium, and your iodine. Iodine is crucial for the thyroid. Now, the symptoms you just described were zinc deficiency because of the nails and thyroid. So you are probably deficient in iodine and zinc just from the brief comments you made because of low stomach acid. And so fix the stomach acid. I would get tested for SIBO because low stomach acid eventually causes SIBO, which creates an environment where you can't absorb the nutrients. And these are the people who get the reoccurring H. pylori. Now, there are some lifestyle factors that might play a role. Stress can flare up problems with the digestive system. When we have acute stress, we can get anything from ulcers to just GI upset. But it's because we stop getting the nerve supply supporting our digestive system. So anything that puts you in fight or flight is not going to allow you to properly be in what we call rest and digest. So your nerves stop supporting your digestive system. So we want to make sure that you're not constipated and your bowels are moving. Minimize your stress as much as possible. But it's betaine hydrochloric acid that's going to give you your biggest bang for the buck, but it might be more complicated if you've had this for over 30 years. And you can get the antibiotics for the H. pylori, but you want to reset the environment so it doesn't come back, and that'll be aided with the HCL.
Hmm. I understood everything he said. All right, we're going to grab Kendra from South Range, Wisconsin. Just want you to know we've got about 3-4 minutes to the end of this first hour, but Kendra, I'm so glad you held on, and we're glad to have you on the air.
All right, thank you. I have a relative who sleepwalks and sleep talks and just is very, very active in his sleep, which is obviously hard not only on him but also on his wife. Do you have any suggestions that don't involve medication? Because I'm really sure he'll never take medication.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So this is actually what my next book is about. The anyone who sleeps sleep walks, sleep talks. They have a REM sleep disorder. That's a phase of sleep where we start to get into deep sleep and we start acting out our dreams. It's actually a bit of a survival mechanism because the most common cause is the upper airway resistance syndrome, where the airway collapses. They temporarily don't get enough oxygen to the brain. And instead of the brain just being okay with that, it sends a signal to your stress glands, adrenal glands, to release adrenaline or cortisol, the stress hormone. Some people will start acting out their dreams because it pulls them into a different state of sleep. So chiropractors have a very large success rate, the ones that will work on the head and the neck. If in Wisconsin, I know I had an intern that worked with me who is now a phenomenal chiropractor in Madison, Wisconsin. His name is Dr. Johnson, Eric Johnson. He might be a great resource if that's close to you. And the other than that, you can look for other things that cause neck tension. So funny enough, digestive disturbance that affects the ileocecal valve. So too much caffeine can cause the exact same thing. So if he likes his coffee, then that can also do it. Alcohol can also do it. So if sometimes in the American way we do caffeine and coffee in the morning, alcohol at night, and that scenario sets up REM sleep disorders. If he's had this since childhood, then there's usually a digestive component, a food allergy, food intolerance, or a low-grade infection that's not been dealt with since childhood, or a neck or head injury that needs to be fixed.
Mm. See, there are options, Kendra. Thanks for that call. We're going to grab one more call if we can. And Anonymous from Cottage Grove. I want to say to Debbie from Waterloo, Al from Coon Rapids, and Logan from Madison, hang with us because we're going to try to squeeze as many as we can before the top of the hour, but then we got the whole next hour, and you'll be up on deck. So Anonymous from Cottage Grove, you're on the air.
Okay, my husband, where he's from, they all live in their 80s, 90s, and I know I know what you say about sugar, but they swear by molasses, and they take that religiously, and they say they couldn't live without it because of all the B vitamins, and it just gives them so much energy and all that, and there must be something to it because when I go to the grocery store to get some, they're out most of the time, and So what's your thoughts on that for long term? But it seems to agree with all of them.
Hmm. If they're living well into their 80s and 90s, then I would listen to them. So I actually love molasses.
I'm going to go get me some molasses.
Yeah. So for the right person, if you don't have diabetes, molasses is fine. So molasses is really high in iron, and blackstrap molasses is one of the things we use during pregnancy with women who are sensitive to sugar to get their iron levels up.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
Wow.
And it has a lot of B vitamins. So I actually like molasses. Molasses is not the same as sugar.
Hmm.
So it does have sugars
in it.
It
has to be pure, right? I mean,
yeah, pure. Yeah, the more pure, the better. Mm-hmm. And blackstrap molasses is one of my favorites. And so, I'm going to stay out of their way. If they're living into their 80s and they're doing that, as long as their blood sugar in their labs and there's no diabetes, it's excellent. So, yeah, don't worry about that. That's a good one.
Do me a favor. Call them and tell us what else they're doing.
Yes.
So we can do what they're doing, right?
Yes.
That's impressive. Debbie with Waterloo, Al from Coon Rapids, you're up next. And my friend's question on Sjogren's, we're going to tackle that first segment next hour. You are listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy. We've got them in studio. We love your questions. You can also email them. Just hang with us because lots are coming in. Susie@myfaithradio.com, or here's the phone number, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.